This is Talk of the Rock. You are listening to a special show with the cast of The Music Man. I have a bunch of people here and their mothers, two of them. So it's going to be super awesome. We're going to have some singing as well, I hear. Singing without music is just going to be the power of their voices. So yeah, we're going to get started. You get to hear all about that. But first of all, when does the show begin? Does someone know?
We're going to open this weekend. We start on Saturday with our opening night starting at 7 o'clock. Sunday we have a matinee at 3, and then the following Friday and Saturday, the 11th and 12th. Again, two shows at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. So could you go around and introduce yourselves and your characters? Let's start with you, since you spoke first.
I'm Amy Willis by day, and at night, I'm Mrs. Peru.
I am Kobe White Turby, and in the play, I am Rose Kessler.
I'm Alex Silva, and in the play, I'm Marion Peru.
My name's Mark Anderson, and in the play, I am the music man, Professor Harold Hill.
I'm Clara Yap, and in the play, I'm Gracie Shin.
And I'm Lydia Cullum, and in the play, I'm Missy Squires.
Okay. So I just want to return to the two youngest individuals in this room. And you said your name is Rose.
Yeah.
In the play?
Yes.
Yeah? So how old are you?
8.
You're 8? That's okay. You can put that back into the holder. We had a little mic issue right here. All right, you're 8. Okay. So how did you learn about this play? What makes you want to be part of the play?
I don't know, because my friend's in it.
Which friend is that?
Clara, which is playing Gracie.
Okay. That's cool. Who are you? What's your name?
Clara.
You're Clara. All right. So how long have you guys been friends?
I don't know. Since, I guess, 2 years ago?
2 years ago? So from birth?
No.
No.
No? All right. So who's your character?
Gracie.
Gracie? All right. What does she do in the play?
She has two parts, I guess.
Oh, yeah. What are those?
Pop of the Wells Fargo egg is just coming out from the depot, and I know who did it. Tommy Geos did it. Tommy Geos did it.
Is that your line?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cute. Is Wells Fargo, how old is that company?
Well, supposedly it was around in 1912.
Is that in the original script?
Yeah.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
I missed that. Oh my gosh, that's why it's always sounded so familiar when I passed that. So how did you learn your lines? What did you do to memorize them?
I read the papers, I guess, and started learning my lines. And
was it a long process?
Like a few days.
Oh wow, only a few days? When did you start practicing? When did rehearsals begin?
How about January?
January 6th.
Yeah.
Wow. You've had a bit of a time. You've had a few weeks to get ready for your role.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how did you guys find out about the rehearsals, and have you been part of plays before? Starting with you.
So I've been in theater since I was in high school. And I've played in numerous roles, and I heard about The Music Man just by posters saying that the Arts Council was going to put it on, and I always dreamed about being in The Music Man when I was a little girl, and so I was very excited to be a part of it, and I auditioned, and miracle of miracles, I got a role, and I'm very excited for us to start showing the world what we've been doing for the last couple of months.
You liked The Music Man when you were a kid. What about The Music Man entranced you?
Well, I really loved the opening number of The Music Man, the fact that a bunch of guys were arguing on a train and it sounded like a train. So that really intrigued me when I was a little girl. And then just the music, like I was wowed by 76 trombones and then just the lovely little ballads that Marion the librarian gets to sing. So it's just a very fun show and I just really liked it as a kid.
Did you have any other favorites? Do you have any more shows you want to be part of in the future? Maybe we can all note it down. And
Well, the show that I really want to be a part of, we can't do because it's still on Broadway. It has to go off Broadway before we can do it. But if that ever happens, I would love to be a part of Wicked.
Oh, Wicked. That'd be pretty awesome. Any others that you watched when you were a kid?
I always liked The Sound of Music and Carousel and Oklahoma, kind of a lot of the old traditional ones.
I watched those too when I was a kid. I think Carousel was the one I watched when I was like really young and I didn't get it and I cried.
It's a very sad one.
It was very sad.
That one's not as kid friendly.
No. I'm going to tell my mother, I'm going to have my mother listen to this and be like, for shame. You too. Have you seen Carousel? Have you seen
any?
No. No? Have you seen any other shows? Have you seen the movie version of Music Man?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
What did you think?
Good.
It was good?
Yeah.
What did you like about it?
I like the music.
That's good because you'll be participating in the music. Do you have a singing role? Are you singing?
A little bit.
A little bit? What songs do you sing?
I don't know. I sing my own songs.
Oh, okay. What are you singing too? Does everyone sing, or is it kind of...
It's more of a group thing, I think.
Okay, so like when one person sings, everyone's kind of singing?
Yeah, there's quite a few chorus numbers where everybody participates, like 76 Trombones, the Wells Fargo Wagon,
Iowa Stubborn.
That's a big in the opener. So I think a lot of the kids get plenty of singing time in those big numbers, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think we were talking before about a song we could sing for the listeners. I think it was 76 Trombones. Was that the one?
Yes, I think that was
the one.
They
thought they
were
going to get
about
out of this one, but they're not.
I don't think we can sing the whole thing, but we can give you just a little taste of it.
All right, so you want me to count down, or how do you want to do this?
We'll follow your lead, Mark.
I think we can do it.
That's
Are you
fitting.
Ready? Okay, here we go. 76 trombones led the big parade, with 110 cornets left behind. They were followed by rows and rows of the finest virtuosos, the cream of every famous band. That's part of it.
Okay, that's great. I'm going to have that in my head for the rest of the day. And the other songs are also going to be stuck in my head once I see this play. What'd you say your name was in real life?
I'm Professor Harold Hill today.
Okay, I'll call you Harold then.
Yes.
So how did you find out about this play, and what made you want to try out?
I saw that it was being done, and truly, out of all the musicals that are out there, this is really the only one that would interest me. And so when it came out that they were going to do a Music Man, I secretly thought I would love to have the lead role in the Music Man. And so I actually missed the first day of tryouts because I didn't know. I thought it was a Saturday at a certain time, and I missed it. And I went back to Veronica, and I said and Veronica is our director. And I said, I really wanted to try out, but I missed it. And she said, bring your stuff and come and we'll take a look. So that was kind of a funny little story at the beginning. But it's a fabulous musical. I'm a bit of a scoundrel. I'm Harold Hill is not a typical hero. I'd like to say I'm a lovable scoundrel, but I'm really not that. I'm maybe charming, and you'll have to see the show to see how that works out in the play. But it's an interesting role, and it's an interesting time. I noticed as I've been thinking about the musical that here it is taking place 100 years ago, approximately. And the concerns and the worries of the parents and the people in the town then are not really any different than they are today. The parents are concerned about what their kids are doing after school. They're concerned about their morals. They're concerned about what's going to happen with their kids. And so I've kind of thought a little bit about that things don't really change that much. And so in some ways, the musical is timeless.
Mm-hmm. And what's Harold's profession?
Harold's profession is whatever will make him a buck. And maybe in this town, it's being a band leader. But maybe in the previous town, it might have been something else. And so he doesn't always come across with maybe the best integrity. But he's a charming individual.
And very charming.
Yeah. Speaking of that,
I shouldn't say that myself. Maybe you want to find out.
He's very charming. So, what is the story between Harold and Marion the librarian?
Well, Marion the librarian is also the town piano teacher, music teacher. So, since he's come to the town trying to sell band instruments and sell a band, basically a boys band, I am his number one target in order to fool coerce or intrigue in order to make it not so obvious that he doesn't really know anything about music at all.
If I can fool the piano teacher, I can fool everybody.
Exactly.
That's kind of my goal. And so I've recognized that Marion is someone that I have to win over in order to make my scheme work.
And how easy is that, or how difficult?
Oh, it's terrible.
I was going to say, it's definitely not an easy feat whatsoever. But I think that our characters evolve in a manner that really lends well to our relationship. So I think that's one thing I won't necessarily tell you about. That can be something that you see when you come see The Music Man. But our evolution, I think, is quite interesting.
So how did you find out about the play? Do you have a personal reason for wanting to take part?
Yeah, absolutely. Fun? Similar to Lydia, you know, that was one of the first VHS tapes, you know, that my mom put in the VCR to watch while I was growing up. She also did The Music Man as a child in high school. She played Amaryllis and Marion. So it's kind of a personal connection. Well, Amaryllis when she was younger first. That was her first show, and then Marion when she was later in high school. But so there's that personal connection to the show, and then just the fact that it really is as you sit down. I used to sit down in front of the TV and just kind of watch it. You know, you can't really beat Robert Preston and Shirley Jones.
Yeah, definitely. That was one of the first VHSs I watched, too.
Yeah.
Those musicals. They Absolutely. Looked a little grainy, but they were the perfect childhood baseline.
Yeah, and it had, you know, it had a good overall theme, you know, and it, like he said, it's kind of timeless. You know, it really is.
Mm-hmm. It's about teaching and teaching music, and you mm-hmm. have some kids here, and it's kind
Absolutely.
Of like real life kind of connects to that fictional
yeah.
realm in a way.
Well, I think this is a really a great community show. There's a large cast. It's involved a lot of people from, you know, every which way. And I'm a Coast Guard spouse, so I've only been here for a little while. I did Tarzan, and then I think at this time last year during Tarzan, they were saying that Music Man was going to be the show. And I was like, oh, gosh, you know, can I do it? Can I do it? You know, I guess I'm doing it. So
you certainly are.
Yeah, exactly. So it's pretty exciting, you know.
Do you guys know what a VHS is? You don't? No.
The little ones are shaking their heads no.
No? Yeah. But you know what a DVD is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, VHS is what came before the DVD. It's like a square, triangular. No, not triangular, square. Rectangular, is that the word I'm looking
yeah.
for? It's rectangular.
You had to rewind it. And it was
Every
very
time.
Frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't just say, oh, I was at 23 minutes and 22 seconds. You'd have to go all the way
back. It was a
hard
time. It was tough in our childhood.
And it was really frustrating when you returned the VHS and never rewound it.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know how now you can see all the pores in someone's face? They looked flawless back in the day.
Absolutely true.
They looked really good. You couldn't see anything, really. Nope. So, yeah, that's how we used to watch the old musicals. And what about you? Could you describe your role again?
Well, I'm Mrs. Peru. I'm Marion's mother, and I'm Irish. And so I get to speak the whole time in Irish. It's a lot of fun. I auditioned. I really wanted to be a pick a little, talk a little lady. If you remember that, those are the girls that have feathers on their head, and they have a great role. Anyway, Missy Squires is one of them. So that's what I was really going for. But at auditions, they thought I should read for the mother, and I had a great time. And it's really been a lot of fun. I am totally smitten with Harold, and so therefore I'm pushing my daughter in that direction. And Winthrop, Marion's brother and my son, has a great role in it too. And Harold does a nice job winning over the entire family. We're a collective, and it takes Marion the longest, I think, to get on board with Harold.
Mama's an easy sell, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm a widow, so probably the first time in a while that someone's paid any attention to me. So
you have a charmer over here.
Oh, he's such a charmer.
Family.
Yeah.
What about Winthrop? Does he have some kind of interaction with him?
Oh, definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah, lots of interaction with Harold. There's really a fun relationship, like the relationship between Marion and Harold. The relationship with Winthrop and Harold develops nicely throughout the piece.
And it's just as important to the show to have that happen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And their relationship is actually pivotal to our relationship.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's my brother. I care very much about him, and so when I see him take to Harold, it maybe opens my eyes in different directions than I would have originally.
So where do you think the manipulation ends and the actual affection begins?
Well, that's a great question.
That might be a tell.
Yeah.
We might have to keep that a secret.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's but you are right. There's a lot of manipulation going on, and I think Harold very astutely figures out that one of the ways to get to Marion is through the brother, through Winthrop, and at some point that happens, and like we said earlier, we can't give all these
right.
secrets
right.
away.
He could be dead inside, but we don't really know.
Yeah.
That's
and it might be different for different people as they watch the show. Maybe at different times you might see that Harold's tough exterior maybe changes. Yeah, definitely lots of fun transition and Harold's change also.
It seems to be a theme in some old movies where you have an outsider coming in to a community that's very in need, and they use whatever they can to kind of suck the money and the life out of that town. I'm not saying that's what your character is doing, but it's kind of the same trend. Like, I remember watching this movie when I was younger, and you might know it. It's about this man. He goes into this town. It's like an old 1940s movie, and he tries to bring the rain. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You know that movie?
I've seen that movie.
Who is that actor? He's just gigantic teeth.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, we're all going to be really curious about that from mm-hmm. now on. But you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's kind of a trend in Hollywood time.
The time period, anyway, at 1912, isn't much later than the Civil War and the carpetbaggers come in and to take the money away from the people. And it's the time of traveling salesmen. This is the time when men would hawk their wares by cart or by in this case, a suitcase, and it's about traveling salesmen. One of the other interesting things at this time, just World War One is just kind of ending, and there's no wristwatches. Everybody's got a pocket watch. It's a very different time and a romantic time in a way, but there's a lot of great characters in this show.
Yeah, and the traveling salesman character reminds me. You're mentioning that you watched Oklahoma when you're younger. There's that one salesman in there too, the one who's kind of trying to cozy up with that one friend. I don't know any of the names of these people, but it does seem like it's a popular trope. Mm-hmm. So also there are two other people standing in the room that I want to just. Could you guys step forward and introduce yourselves?
My name is Lakota Whiteturby. I'm Kobe Whiteturby's mom, and I'm also a hair bow maker for the set.
Oh, what is that? A hair bow maker?
A lot of the younger actors will be wearing hair bows, so that's what my friend Mariah is. Yeah, and I do. I have to promote our design. Go ahead, Mariah.
Hi, my name is Mariah Yap, and I am Claire Yap's mother, and Lakota and I have really pitched in with some hair bow creating downstairs in the costume shop. From what I understand, the demand for this show with the costume shop in particular is large. It's a large production, so a lot of the young ladies have hair bows, and we've been creating them from ribbon and all kinds of cool things down in the costume shop, really trying to use what the Arts Council costume shop has and create really cool things for the costumes.
I do want to say that the set looks amazing and people need to come out and check it out. It's a piece of art, I think. The costuming is amazing. I'd like to thank the costume directors. They've been working very hard and everyone looks so lovely. I'm very impressed at what the Kodiak Art Council can do. It's great. There's some pieces that are going to blow people away.
How many cast members are there?
We have about 60.
Oh, wow. So
yeah, so it's a very large production in general.
And there's live music, so we have about another 20 in the pit.
Oh, true, yeah. Oh.
And we have tech help, so we have people running sound and backstage moving pieces. We have tons of volunteers that painted sets and constructed sets. It's really a huge undertaking, and Veronica Costas-Bolton is our lead director, but then she had great help. Jenny Stevens is running the orchestra and running the music for us. We all took great music lessons from Jenny.
Absolutely.
And Lissa Jensen is the choreographer, so there's really big dance numbers, too. So if you sing, you pretty much dance as well. And
it's hard to do both of those at the same time.
Yes,
very
it
hard.
Is. And Judy Carson's is the costume, the head costume director. So she is really kind of guiding everyone and molding us into the characters that Veronica has really envisioned with our costume.
And I think most characters have at least two costumes. Some people have three. The barbershop quartet comes every time they're on stage. It looks like they're wearing something different. So I don't know how many they have.
But, oh wow!
And hats and
well, it spans quite a few weeks. So they did try to hold true to show that back in 1912 we did have some different clothing options. You
at
know,
at least two outfits.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was time to wash one while
Mm-hmm. And I understand you two are both homeschooled. So how have you balanced your classes with the plays, with the play?
You can go ahead.
Do you get to sleep in when you're tired?
Yes. I don't really sleep in, but I wake up usually the time my mom wakes up.
Okay. So what are you guys learning in school right now?
I'm learning by counting my twos and fives.
Okay. I'm learning geography, math, learning how to write good.
Uh-huh. And you said that next year or next semester you're going to learn cursive?
Yes.
I don't know if listeners are aware of this, but in some places they don't teach cursive anymore. They don't feel like it's very useful. So why is cursive still important, mothers?
I don't know. I think it's, I don't know. I just think it's something that I want my daughter to learn just as an option for the future. I know a lot of homeschool moms are on pushing the cursive writing agenda. So I think it's an art form that my daughter probably needs to know. And she's interested in learning.
Yeah. So that's a very well-rounded kind of schedule you guys have. You have your mother's teaching you school, and then you have this extracurricular activity of doing this play. So we have one more minute, I think. Could you remind us of how people can see the plays and the play and when it is and where?
You can buy tickets online at the KodiakArtsCouncil.com. You can get tickets at the box office, I think about an hour before our show. We open this Saturday. First show is at 7 o'clock. Sunday there's a matinee at 3. And again, we should repeat that this is a really family-friendly show.
Absolutely.
There's lots of kids in it from, I don't know, our youngest is maybe 7, all the way through high school kids. And then, of course, us
old people.
Exactly.
And then there's two shows next weekend on the 11th and the 12th. Both of those shows are at 7 p.m. And there's lots of great seats available. Actually, I don't think there's a bad seat in the auditorium.
No.
When we're not on stage, sometimes we get to go out in the house and watch. And it's great. It's really a high-energy performance. And we just encourage everyone to come out and lighten up this winter blues. We've had so much really bad weather. This will really make you feel lighthearted, and you'll go home with a really great feeling.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.